Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of We Are a Dilf Show, brought to you by Hoppy Edge Productions. I am your host, as always, Sean. Across the way, Danny, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Sitting back, recording the show with you, drinking another one of my mini coffee-filled beers. This one is from Mike Hess Brewing and of San Diego, according to their title. It is their coffee cream ale. It's pretty good. It won a bronze medal, apparently. It came in third place internationally 2 years ago. So there you go. This beer won something 2 years ago. So I don't know if it's like they make new stuff or this is the same batch that's been sitting around for 2 years. But either way, it's pretty tasty.
Well, that's a good thing that it tastes good. At least I'll give you that.
So. Yeah, I guess, you know, if it's high enough in alcohol and it's stored properly, beer can pretty much sit around for a long time, but I don't know. 2 years is quite a while to have to ride your rest your laurels on the same beer.
Yeah.
How about yourself, sir?
Not too shabby. I guess I was going to say that you have a coffee addiction, but you know, maybe a beer addiction. I don't know what it is anymore.
I guess whichever one, like, I can justify more to society. Like, I buy it because it's like saying that you read a Playboy for the articles. I'm drinking alcohol for the coffee.
Of course you are, buddy. Of course you are. But, no, I've been in the middle of trying to fix up my new acquainted house that I am moving into. At the end of this week, I ended up buying it, then going on vacation. So it got me a week behind on getting things done. And man, it is it's pretty ridiculous. Trying to be so goddamn handy sometimes. A lot of projects in the works for the house. And it's funny because it's like I'm getting like messages. It's like, take a picture of your house. If you're a new kitchen, I'm like, there's no kitchen. You don't understand. Like, it's literally just the floor. Like, there's no cabinets. There's no nothing. Like, you got to wait. You got to be patient.
Right. I mean, you know, you expect to, you know, on your days off, just kind of hang out and play video games or drink beer or do whatever you do. But this is what happens when you accept and take on full adult responsibilities. You actually have to, like, do real things when you're not at work.
It's not fun. I'm not even looking forward to mowing the lawn again. It was a lot of work. I got to make sure I do it in the morning this time. Not in the afternoon.
I guess as an adult, you have more control over what time you can do things, like mow your lawn in the morning or befriend one of the neighbor kids and have them mow your yard, and then you can slowly groom him into being a sex slave.
The nice thing is, not a lot of kids on the yard, so don't have to necessarily worry about that piece. So I'm happy about that, but no, it's gonna be quite a bit of work the next few weeks. Well, until like the end of August. So I got the carpet coming in the third week of August, the new countertop the last week of August. So basically, I have to build some kind of makeshift kitchen with cabinets that have no countertop, and live like that for probably a solid month before I get my countertops that I could actually live like a person.
So, would you define it as living in squalor or living like the second world life?
Maybe like a squalor. The worst part is like I move in and then like I gotta re-break down stuff and move stuff for like the carpet that's going almost. In most parts of the house.
See, I would just like, I guess, stack every, depending on, so you said the carpet's coming in first and then the cabinets?
Yeah, but there's no carpet in the kitchen, so that doesn't matter.
my point was just like, just stack everything in the kitchen, and then when the carpets come in, you can take everything out of the kitchen. And then you obviously have plenty of room because you don't have counters in there.
That is true, but I actually did buy the counters, and I am installing the cabinets myself. They are finished. The painting is finished. So I just got to go through and install them. Unfortunately, I'm just going to probably have to do that. I'm going to probably just install them and then paint the walls later in the kitchen instead of actually doing it right, and because I have, like, no time. So I got to run to Home Depot, buy some boxes, and start packing all my waifu stuff up and making sure that all the ladies are secured before I move over.
Right, because one of the artists that we've met at New York Comic Con that I follow on the Facebook, she moved, and she paid to have movers, basically handle the responsibility the way you are. And as she was unpacking, she posted a picture of about 10 of her random comic book statues and figures and stuff that were that didn't survive the trip. And a couple of them weren't the cheap ones. They weren't cheap. They were like the pretty nice DC bombshell figures that are, at least now, they're going for, pretty ridiculous prices just because they're, no longer being made. But even when they're brand new, they weren't cheap. So, yeah, definitely, even with movers, definitely pack up the stuff that you don't want to die.
Exactly. Definitely leaving the movers to the big item, the big bulky items that I just don't want to carry up and downstairs. So, sucks to be them, but I mean, I guess that's their job. And then,
It just dawned on me, like, bringing her up, it made me think, that one commission that you did, like, 4 years ago, what if he finally finishes it and mails it to your house? He has your old address, and now you're screwed, because you're never going to get it, right?
You know what? I'd probably be less mad about that. I feel like I could probably go over there and drive back to the apartment and pick it up.
It's still somewhere in New York or Seattle or wherever he lives.
Yeah. In the New York City area.
But yeah, so definitely between, actually having to work and doing up your house, it seems like you have a lot of free time on your hands, right?
Are you trying to talk about our zany life schedule for podcasting the last 2 to 3 weeks?
Actually, no, I was actually going to I'm surprised you just haven't you're actually hiring movers, and then you're talking about mowing your own lawn. I thought, with your years of experience at Home Depot, that you would know exactly where to hire Mexicans to do it for you.
There's not a lot of just people standing around Home Depot out here, unfortunately. So, I can do it myself. I know how to turn on the lawnmower and push the lawnmower. So I'll be all right.
Yeah, but knowing how to do it doesn't necessarily mean you have to or should. I mean, I know how to change a tire, but I also pay for AAA. Like,
I'm in the 5%, not the 1%. I can't afford every luxury out here. All right, Danny, God.
It's like that joke. The husband comes home and tells the wife that she's gonna have to learn to cook so they can fire the chef because he lost his job. And she's like, you know what? Why don't you just learn how to fuck and we can fire the gardener.
Oh, dang, savage.
Exactly. So I guess in your case, you don't have to learn how to fuck, you just, or fire the gardener, because you're just going to handle it yourself, right?
Exactly. Oh man, terrible bastard, Danny.
Remember I that. Know. It's long been established that I am the horrible person of the show. I'm making you out to be the good guy.
I know. I never thought that would be a thing.
I know, right? Like, well, I guess the difference is because, when you told your parents that we're doing a podcast, they're like, oh, that's awesome. I'll support you. And I told my parents I'm doing a podcast. They're like, so when are you going to start making money on it?
You know what? When they figure it out, let me know, because I could definitely use the extra bucks.
I guess we could sign up for a Patreon and just call it Sean's Allowance, because maybe we can talk your parents into giving us a couple bucks here and there.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So this last weekend was Comic-Con.
You don't say.
I do say, and of course, we've been to comic book conventions, you know, in other states and pretty much all the local ones, except, and whenever, you know, whenever we talk to anybody about the, oh yeah, we go to comic book conventions, the first thing they ask is, so how do you like San Diego? You know, and it's like, you know, I work for UPS, and whenever I tell people I work for UPS, they're like, so how do you like driving? I'm like, yeah, I don't drive. What? Yeah, there's more jobs than driving at UPS, just like there's more comic book conventions in California than San Diego.
I don't believe you. You're a liar. We should stop lying to us, Danny.
I generally am, you know, like the great Homer Simpson quote, you know, I don't mind being called a liar when I'm about to tell a lie, am telling a lie, or have told a lie. But in this case, both of those statements are true. You know, like, I don't know why I've never been to San Diego. I guess I can't really justify why I haven't gone. I mean, main reason I would guess would want to go is a lot of the artists that we know that are out of state pretty much avoid all the California conventions like the plague, except for San Diego, because they know that's where they have to be. And it's not even necessarily because of the fans that come to support them or buy their art. It's more like, you know, you have to come out here to meet and rub elbows with the big wigs of different industries, whether it's the Marvel, DC people, or movie people, or, you know, whatever. This con definitely seems like it's more about hobnobbing with the big wigs than it is about accommodating to the fans.
Yeah.
And, you know, from the comic con's perspective, too, it's more about, you know, providing to the bigger name people, the movie companies and the different things like that, video game companies, than it is to the artists. Like, it seems like the artists are getting pushed further and further away from the center of the floor, to the point where pretty soon they're just going to be, you know, on a boat in the harbor.
I'm surprised they're not there already. It's definitely a con where people go there to really meet people and try to get jobs more than actually sell stuff at their booth. Definitely not a lot of commissions, definitely not a lot of print sales. There's a lot of merch, a lot of people going to panels. Not a lot of love at Artist Alley, but, I mean, it sounds like when the different artists go, they know they're sacrificing all that money because they're trying to find, like, a new deal with a major publisher so they could have long-term work for the whole year.
Right, whether, you know, they get actual work on a comic book or, you know, they have the sketch cards for the comic characters. Couple artists that I know, they have gotten contracts with Marvel to do Spider-Man trading cards. Mm-hmm. And so that's just, you know, easier money, I guess, than having to make a commitment to doing a long-term run on a comic. And it seems a little more steady work than actually just doing a cover or two throughout the year. So,
yeah.
And I guess, you know, if they like your work, then they'll keep hiring you on for that and even to do a cover. So, you know, it's probably one of those things, once you get your foot in the door and get your name in on their list, you're kind of set for life.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, I think it's more about, yeah, at least it's like getting their lucky break, you know what I mean?
Right. You know, they're probably not going to be able to, you know, retire. Not everyone can be, you know, J. Scott Campbell, but at least it's steady work. It's better than having to, you know, that's why a lot of the big name people don't always necessarily rely on taking commissions or even take commissions at all, because it'll just get in the way of their real job of doing covers and comics and stuff. And so that's, you know, they just go to cons to sell prints and hopefully meet other people and show their resumes off.
Yep, exactly.
And so, you know, pre-con, I was reading about Mile High Comics on their website, and it was picked up by other news industries in the comic book world. They basically posted an open letter to San Diego for all to read, saying that they're skipping this year's Comic-Con for the first time. It'll be the first time in 44 years that they've skipped a comic book convention. I mean, Comic-Con in San Diego. They've been going there since 1973, and they said that in 1973 they paid $40 for their booth.
Yep.
This year, they were going to get a 70-foot space, and it was going to cost them $18,000.
That's pretty expensive.
And so they were just kind of talking about how there was less people going through the actual areas where they sell comics, less traffic, less sales. And then last year they had an incident where they basically, it seems like as part of their price, though, that San Diego organizers pay for their stuff to get transported. So they had a truck out there in the yard with their stuff in it at like 6 a.m, and they're sitting there waiting for it and waiting for it. And, you know, it's 9:30 at night on Wednesday, setup day, and they still hadn't had their stuff, and everybody else is already set up and ready to, you know, go back to the hotel room for the night. And not once did anybody running the con come by and like give them necessarily an explanation of what was going on or apologize. So they just kind of felt less love than they probably wanted to feel from a convention that they've been supporting for many years. You know, Mile High Comics is one of the, you know, top, what, 3 comic book stores in the country, if not the top. They've been advertising in comic books, you know, since, you know, the 80s, that you can mail order to get back issues from them.
Yeah, they're definitely one of the bigger ones. I mean, it's a good place to go pick up back issues, and the fact that they do it online and fulfill a lot of online orders. I think my dad and my brother even stopped by there. It's like huge. It's like ridiculously huge.
Yeah, as Kevin Smith did a Facebook Live video kind of promoting his anniversary tour for his comic book store, the Secret Stash, in New Jersey. And he stopped by there, and I'd never seen the inside of the store until then. And so he was kind of walking around with the Facebook Live going on, and it seemed very large, and it seemed pretty much almost like its own mini comic book convention of just different just books everywhere, statues, and that was all just at one place. So, you know, they're not some just little rinky-dink store, and so, you know, that's a lot of space. But then again, you know, I'm sure San Diego probably didn't care too much because they have a huge waiting list for that space. Probably just gave it to Capcom or Marvel or somebody, ate it up.
Exactly.
But, you know, and part of the reason why they said that they had less traffic was the fire marshals were kind of regulating who could come into the building, you know, because when you were at Anime Expo, and I was kind of just looking around at different stuff online about conventions and stuff just because of how crazy it was there. You know, I was reading about a convention in San Jose, and they were sold out of the 3-day passes, and they were already, like, not letting anybody else go in. The fire marshal, the building was at max capacity, and the fire marshal was not letting anybody else in until somebody came out, like it was a nightclub.
Oh, wow.
But the convention was still selling 1-day passes.
Wow, that's idiotic. That's right. Ridiculous.
And, well, is it really idiotic or is it genius? Because people are buying them. I mean, I guess.
Yeah. All right. You having a ticket doesn't. It's not responsible. How about that?
Yes. There you go. It's not fair to the people buying the tickets. But at the same time, though, I guess, would you rather be told you have to wait outside or no, you can't get in at all because it's sold out?
I can't get in because I didn't buy it in time.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's definitely what would be fair for the people that, you know, bought their tickets, you know, the day they went on sale, because you show up and now you're stuck in line behind all these people that showed up that day, and the con is just trying to, you know, fill up another wheelbarrow full of dollar bills. Because
yeah,
even for Anime Expo, you know, like when you bought our tickets, we paid, you know, $55 for the weekend. If you showed up Friday to buy a 3-day pass, it was $150 cash only.
Yeah, and I mean, it makes sense to sell, like, whatever you have left like that, and obviously, you could bank on some extra money, but I don't know. I still think if you're not going to be able to get everybody in, it's still some kind of unfair. You just got to imagine, like, not everybody. So what if you buy a 3-day weekend, but you can't get there first thing in the morning every morning because you have some kind of other responsibility, but you were good and you bought your ticket on time and now you can't even get in.
Right.
These ridiculous lines because you can't show up at 8 o'clock in the 7 o'clock in the morning when the con opens at 10.
Right, and that's why I was kind of surprised that Anime Expo is actually giving out refunds for the tickets, because you went there and you picked up the ticket. You know, buying the ticket, I guess on their end, doesn't guarantee that you're going to be inside, be able to get inside and see the whole floor, or be in for a certain amount of time. You know, like I said, you know, earlier in another show, we went to WonderCon, and, you know, they asked us to pick up our tickets the day before, like we did what they did with Anime Expo, and we did. And we got there, and the line to, you know, pick up the tickets was just as long as the line at Anime Expo, almost. And so, you know, any more, you have to go, definitely have to go and pick up your, for bigger cons and even some of the medium-sized cons, you have to go and pick up your tickets early and get there so that you can just go straight to the line to get in, as opposed to having to go and pick up your tickets. Because not only do you have to wait in two lines that way, but then also, from what we dealt with at least, the people that they have in the section where you pick up your tickets aren't exactly the most competent, and they're not exactly in a hurry to get you out of there. They're just there getting paid, and just like anybody else, they care about their job as much as anybody else that gets paid for do a shitty job.
Unfortunately, I do agree.
So, I mean, you know, you hear about these incidents about cons, you know, selling badges, but then at the same time, though, you see people go inside there and having a great time. So it's, you know, I'm just wondering what percent of people experience were ruined because they didn't get in by a certain time, like Anime Expo. Like, was that 1% of the people that bought tickets that couldn't get in after a certain time? 10%? 20%? At what point does the con, like, what percentage of people getting screwed over, just, you know, not being able to have the experience that they paid for? Is the convention going to have to take some kind of responsibility and step up and make changes, or are they fine with the collateral damage?
I don't know, man. It's hard to say on this one. I just feel like they don't think they care all that much.
No, especially, you know, if they can get people showing up, like I said, you know, at Anime Expo on Friday, you know, giving them $150 worth of cash for a 3-day badge. It's, you know, it's like, are you reporting all of those sales? Like, why does it have to be in cash? That seems a little shady.
Yeah.
Especially when they direct you over to some dude and he's handing you the badges out of the back of his car. Why am I going to that guy's trunk? Why is he giving me his badge from there? That seems... Are these real? Are they counterfeit?
Why is he opening his trench coat?
I know. Is he wearing pants?
I hope not. I mean...
I know. For $150, he better not be. Damn it, I'm paying, you know, triple the price. I better get a show. So, you know, definitely, you know, talking to different artists that we've talked to at different conventions, they talked about how, you know, San Diego is definitely moving away from being a comic book convention and more just being a general entertainment, you know, movie, video game, whatever, expo, where the focus is on, you know, Hollywood coming down there and just trying to outdo each other, who can basically swing their dick the furthest.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a huge battle between... You got Sony, you got Marvel Studios, you got Warner Brothers, and you're right. And now you're seeing Netflix, and literally everybody's just like pulling the cock out and just kind of having a dick show on. Look at our movies, look at our shows, blah blah blah. It's like definitely, I think a lot more people go to be like the first one to watch the trailer. You know, the trailer literally comes out like 5 minutes after it's been viewed. Like, you paid all that money and time just to not, just to get it to see it 5 minutes before everybody else. Not sure if that's, right, the best idea.
But also, you pay because you can be there in the room with, you know, like for the Marvel panel. I was reading that people stood in line for 36 hours to get into that room for the panel. And, you know, you got to be in the room with pretty much all of the Avengers.
Yeah, that makes sense. You get to at least, if you're gonna do like trivia, oh, that'll be a fun day. Like questionnaire and stuff with them, it definitely makes a lot more sense to do.
Like, you know, not necessarily endorsing the movie, but I remember reading a story a few years ago when the first Twilight was being shown at Comic-Con, and people sat in line for a few, like a like from Monday or whatever, Tuesday, and the panel was on Friday. And the day of the panel, a couple of the people from the movie showed up and gave everybody pretty much in line, or at least most of the people in line, coffee and donuts for, as a, I guess, thank you, or I'm sorry that you had to stand in this line. So I guess that's always kind of the hope that, you know, the bar has been set that if I sit in this line for so long and suffer, I might actually get to be graced with the presence of the people that I'm trying to see in a movie.
That's fair.
You know, and you know, a lot on pretty much all the coverage after the convention also was, you know, did you see this trailer? Here's 75 things you missed in this trailer, all the Easter eggs in this trailer. Let's overanalyze this trailer because we know nothing about the movie and we saw 30 seconds about it. But we need to fill a 15-minute show. So, and you know, I just understand, man. It just seems like a waste of time to just analyze all those trailers and just, you know, overread and just, I don't know, just fill in too many blanks because, you know, the trailers could be shot out of sequence. A lot of the times they throw things in the trailer that were cool because they filmed it and it just didn't necessarily fit in the movie, or they changed the scene. Like one of the second Iron Man where they, you know, the trailer showed him jumping out of the plane, but he gave this big old, like, there was a conversation with him and Pepper, and then he jumped out of the plane, and then we saw the movie. That conversation was completely different.
I remember that.
So, that being said, I actually watched a bunch of the trailers.
I did cherry pick the trailers. I mean, I don't know if I was ready to watch, like, Thor trailer number 5 or whatever bullshit they want to call it. I mean, I saw a couple. I saw that horror movie, the horror show on Netflix. I watched that one. That one was pretty cool. I think I got to see a little bit of Westworld, so I got to see a few different things.
Yeah, see, I don't have HBOs. I haven't didn't watch the first season of Westworld, and I haven't seen any of Boobs and Dragons yet.
Boobs and Dragons! I gotta watch the episode from Sunday.
Yeah, I heard this season is pretty short. There's only like 9 episodes or 7 episodes in it.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's good, I don't care. I mean, it's the conclusion is coming to an end. Like, just let it be what it is.
Right, I saw a picture on Reddit today of, I guess, the two youngest female cast members and the 3 youngest male cast members from like 2009.
Yeah.
And like Maisie Williams was like the two actresses, like the Maisie Williams and I forget her name. She was also played Jean Grey in the X-Men movies, the new X-Men movies. But they were like 12 and 13.
Yeah. Not so young anymore.
And Kit Harington, who plays Jon Snow, like he looked turbo nerd, like skinny dude, like Jufro and like Coke bottle glasses. And so one of the comments was, you know, seeing Kit Harington gives any nerd hope that they can be cool one day.
That's fucked up, but yeah, I guess so.
it's like when the dude that plays Neville hit puberty and all the girls were like, you know, Draco or ooh, Harry, and then it's like Neville walked in on the screen or like sploosh,
like what? And
everyone's and pretty much most girls switched allegiances that day and panties.
They're always switching those.
But yeah, I watched. I'm thinking between the two of us, we probably didn't watch very many duplicate trailers because I watched, you know, the generic. I watched the Thor trailer, and I watched the Justice League, and I watched the trailer for the Ready Player One movie.
I started that one, but I didn't watch the whole thing. The premise seems cool. So
yeah, I read the book, so that's part of the reason why I sat through the whole trailer, and the other one was because whether it was the Nerdist or Kotaku or IGN or one of them had, like, literally had 27 Easter eggs that you missed in the Ready Player One trailer. And it's like, you know, that trailer's only like a couple minutes, dude. There's.
Yeah.
And you know, but at the same time, to be fair for them, I'm sure there probably was legit 27 Easter eggs in that trailer because, well, the book is good. Like, the premise is that it's set in the future and everyone kind of goes through VR to go do a lot of stuff, go to school and all this stuff. And the guy that created the VR has died. And so basically, like, there's a message left on the VR system that if you can solve this puzzle that he left, you get to be the owner of the company, a la Willy Wonka.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, he, the guy that owned the company basically, you know, would be like probably about my age. Mm-hmm. So he grew up as a child of the 80s. So there was just, at first, you know, you're reading the book and it's like, ooh, an 80s reference. Ooh, an 80s reference. It's like when you go to the beach and you kind of get hit by those little waves and you're like, ooh, this is all fun. And then you turn your back and say, hey, everybody, look, all these little waves. Then you just see this look of horror on their face and you turn around and you just get wiped out by this ginormous wave and you almost drown. That's kind of the rate that the references come to you in this book. Like, it starts off really cool and you're like, wow, he's in a world, like, virtual reality world of, you know, Back to the Future or this other video game or this movie. And then pretty soon it's just like, wait, why is the DeLorean racing the 18 van, you know, in Grand Theft Auto while being shot at by, you know, Airwolf? And it's just like, holy shit, calm down with the references, dude. Like, your nerd boner is starting to become a little distracting.
No.
But that being said, I mean, it was a fun read. I'm hoping that the movie is pretty good. It's a film by Spielberg. And so, you know, he's made some decent movies.
I don't know who that guy is.
Nah, he's just some dude. Like, he caught a couple lucky breaks.
He's aight.
But that's something I'm looking forward to. It comes out, you know, the end of March 2018. It looks like just a fun movie. You know, it's not going to be anything where you're going to, like, walk out of it feeling like you've gained some insight in life other than you had a good time. But, I mean, it's got, like, Simon Pegg and T.J. Miller and, you know, basically mixing 80s nerd stuff with modern nerd stuff.
Yeah. Can't be that bad.
And so... And the main actor, he played Cyclops in the new X. He played the young Cyclops in the, you know, current X-Men movies. And so, again, you know, just nerd stuff. The Justice League trailer. I mean, they just showed that again. That the only thing I really got out of that was that Jason Momoa still looked like he was having the most fun making this movie than anybody else in the cast.
Gotcha.
But they kind of talked about, I guess they had to do some reshoots, but, you know, spoiler alert for anyone who doesn't know how, you know, comic books work. Apparently, Superman's in the movie, and the actor that plays Superman is also filming the new Mission Impossible movie, for which he had to grow a porn stash, but they had to do some reshoots.
Oh, boy.
And he couldn't shave his porn stash for... Superman, so I guess they talked about how they're gonna have to digitally remove it so it doesn't look like he's trying to, you know, lay some pipe or molest kids.
What if he wants to?
Well, he doesn't have to look like it. I guess the giant S on his vest, on his shirt, should be enough. He doesn't need that stash.
No, he doesn't.
And the new Thor trailer, again, you know, nothing really new, no new movie elements other than just conversation points between Thor and Hulk, showing that Hulk is getting a little bit more, having some more of the intelligence of Banner come through. It looked like he's, you know, not the dark green that he is when he's the angry, super ragey Hulk. He's getting closer to the gray, smart Hulk.
Yeah.
So people are wondering if that's going to set up for, you know, different Hulks appearing in the movies, or if there's going to be a standalone Hulk movie with that. And then, you know, at D23, there's actually a pretty funny interview with Mark Ruffalo and I lost his name, the actor that plays War Machine. Not Terrence Howard, but the new one, Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
And they asked Mark Ruffalo if there's ever going to be a Thor standalone movie. And he just kind of, his response,
standalone?
I'm sorry, Hulk. I apologize. A Hulk standalone movie. I'm reading the word Thor on my paper. There's going to be a Hulk standalone movie. And his response was probably the most honest answer I've ever heard of a movie star give about a movie. He basically just said that Marvel and Universal aren't getting along very well. Like, Universal just doesn't know how to get along with Marvel, and they don't want to make money. So until they get over that hump, there's not going to be another Hulk movie. And, you know, Don Cheadle was like, well, you know, they'd probably make another movie if they had a better actor and they knew that they could carry the movie and make more money for them. And you know, he's – Mark Ruffalo just kind of ignored him and continued on, was like – you know, it's like, I've only got a couple more of these movies before I get too old and I can't do this anymore. And again, Don Cheadle jumped in. He's like, wait, you're not too old already?
What a savage. I like
it. I know, man. And on the red carpet at D23 in front of, you know, whoever was watching the person that was giving the interview, it basically ended up on the internet all over just because of it. But it's a pretty funny interview showing that they actually have a camaraderie, or good enough actors to fake having a really decent camaraderie. And there wasn't a trailer for the movie, but they talked about the new Miss Marvel movie. And it's supposed to be set in the 90s. So take that, people who care too much about the timelines of comic book movies. I was thinking about, like, some of the complaints that people have about comic book movies. And, you know, the comic book movies aren't necessarily made to make the comic book fans happy. You know, I've had this discussion with somebody I worked with, you know, a while ago when we had time. We just basically stood next to each other for, you know, 4 hours a day or across from each other. And so we had, deep nerd conversations. And, you know, we brought up the point about how, you know, even if every single person that reads the comic goes and watches the movie and nobody else does, that's only, you know, at most the high, you know, couple hundred thousand fans going to see the movie, you know, so they have to basically make it so that everybody can go and everybody can see the movie and everybody knows what's going on. You know, the movies themselves aren't necessarily made for comic book fans. That's why they put the little Easter eggs in that you don't necessarily have to understand to enjoy the movie, but as someone who enjoys the comics, you see that and you're like, oh, hey, I understand a thing that nobody else does. Yay for me. But one of the other things that was pretty interesting they brought up about the Miss Marvel movie is the Skrulls are going to be in it. And this is interesting because the Skrulls are a Fantastic Four property.
That is interesting.
Which is, you know, leading to some internet speculation that somehow either they're playing nice, Marvel and Fox, or Fox is going to sell the rights to the Fantastic Four to Marvel.
Or Danny, the Skrulls are just more popular than Fantastic Four.
Or maybe they're selling the rights to use the Skrulls in the Miss Marvel movie so they can pay to make the Doctor Doom movie.
That is true. That makes sense. That is a good way to get money.
Exactly. Because, you know, for all the people saying that, you know, Fox is selling the Fantastic Four, you know, that theory would make perfect sense with the Skrulls being used in Miss Marvel because, you know, Fox never let them use it before, and that's why they had to use the Chitauri in the first Avengers instead of the Skrulls. But that theory stops at the point where they just announce that they're going to make a Doctor Doom movie under the banner of 20th Century Fox. So do they feel that, you know, we're going to make one of the two, we can use the Skrulls or Doctor Doom? And they're like, well, let's give Marvel a Skrull so we can keep Doctor Doom because he's the best.
He's the best. Like, no one ever
was. Sorry. He's the best around.
I've literally had the Pokemon intro song stuck in my head, like, all week. Everything gets tied to it.
Everything is Pokemon. Everything is caught when you're part of a team.
Not that one.
Oh. That's okay, not the Pokemon theme song that you had stuck in your head?
No. No, Danny. I appreciate you helping me get rid of the song in my head, though. Appreciate it.
Did I get a better song stuck in your head, or did I just make you want to blow your, make you want to remove everything from your head and not have any thoughts in your head anymore ever again?
The grass on the bottom of the third level looks a lot more comfy than my couch right now. How about that?
You want to give yourself a give your brain a bath? Scrub your cerebellum clean of the memory of me singing that song.
I want to go base jumping without a parachute.
the ever popular, you want to take a long walk up a short pier?
Yeah. Something like that.
So those were pretty much the trailers that I watched. Like I said, I haven't watched Boobs and Dragons, no Westworld. Was there, of the ones that I didn't mention, were there trailers that you particularly thought interesting to yourself?
No, I don't know. I mean, I think I've gotten to the point where I just want to know, like, the movie it's coming out, and like, I just feel like every time I watch the trailer, like, I get excited, and then I'm just setting myself up for the letdown. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's just less is more, and maybe just not paying attention to the trailer and stuff makes it to where it'll be better for me, because then I just don't have any expectation going in. So then it's always decent.
Right. I guess, I mean, that makes sense. Like I said, you know, a lot of the trailers, they're not made by the same people that make the movie. They basically contract out somebody to make a trailer, and so they have, like, full access to everything that was shot. And so, you know, they don't have to put it in any order. And a lot of times you get, like, you know, really cool trailers that, you know, are smart, and they show everything in the trailer that happens in the first 5 minutes of the movie, or ten, you know, basically first half hour of the movie. But then there's other times where you watch a trailer and you're like, oh my God, this scene is so awesome, I can't wait to watch it in the movie. And you're like watching the movie, and like the first action scene happens, you're like, okay, it wasn't there. And then, you know, the movie's going through and there's another battle and that doesn't happen. And then the climax, and, you know, there's the downfall of the hero or whatever when he has to redeem himself. And then the climax of the movie, and you're like, oh, well, either that scene is going to happen in the last 5 minutes of the movie, or it isn't going to be here in the movie. And then you see something and it's like setting up for that. And you're like, oh, cool, I can go to the bathroom right now because I've already seen how this movie ends. Thank you, trailer.
Damn you, trailer. I think it's also like, I've seen like two Thor trailers already. I've seen a Justice League trailer. Like, I don't need to see more trailers. And I just, and I know, like, I go to the movies enough, like, I'm going to see some of these other trailers that have already premiered. You know what I mean? Well, I guess right, I used to go to the movies enough. I still haven't fucking seen Spider-Man. My fucking dad saw a movie before I did. That's fucking bad.
I know. Like, I went and I, like, made sure I cleared my calendar the weekend it came out, because I'm like, hey, we're doing a podcast about, you know, movies and anime and video games and beer and stuff, and Spider-Man seems right up the alley for the people that you know, listen to our show, and we should probably watch that movie. And then it's like, yeah, I saw a movie, you're gonna go see it? I'll go try to go see it this day. That day it's like, did you go see it? Oh no, I just fucked off and didn't do anything. I decided to, hey, I'll watch it later.
Fuck you. The night I was supposed to go see it was when we had to fucking record the podcast on Friday night. I was supposed to go to the movies. I had plans and everything. And I had to cancel them.
There was one day you were going to go to the movies, and you're like, yeah, you know, the guy that I was going to blow after the movie ended bailed on me, so I don't really like going to movies without blowing dudes, so I guess I'm going to have to see it a different day.
I just can't watch a movie without a cock in my mouth.
Well, you know, the trailers. I mean, you gotta do something during the credits. We were waiting for the post-credit scene. I mean, those trailers are 20 minutes long, dude. What are you going to do? Just sit there and, like, nothing?
That's true. You know, it takes a while for the end clip for Marvel to come through, so might as well get down to business.
Multitasking.
Always multitasking. That's what makes me so good.
That's why you're management material, straight A to the top, a la Office Space.
Yeah, pretty much.
But the cool thing is the release date for Ms. Marvel is March 8th of next year. So, you know, if I had to, I could just tell my wife, yeah, I'm going to go see Ms. Marvel for my birthday, and you can't tell me no because it's my birthday, and I'll do what I want to.
You'll do what you want, what you really, really want.
Yes, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
I just imagine Seth shaking his head right now on the shit that's going on in the show. It's all right, buddy. You'll be all right. You've invested in way too much of the show. You got Stockholm syndrome at this point.
Exactly. You're not a fan anymore. It's an obligation. If you don't do it, then the bad things will happen. The bads will be there.
The bads.
And the bads are worse than our bads.
Exactly. Oh man.
The other day, you know, you tagged me on the Facebook on an article talking about how a group of ladies in Europe somewhere decided to take their love for the anime Keijo and actually do it in real life. For those who didn't hear the episode when we talked about it, basically Keijo is a bunch of anime girls that stand on a platform in the middle of a water object. So, you know, it's not always a pool. Like, as the show goes on, like, it starts just like a little like square, and it gets into these super complicated, like, ridiculous jungle gym type platforms out in like a lake, and it's pretty ridiculous. But these women decided to at least start with the small little raft in the middle of a pool. And the goal is you have to knock your opponent off without using your arms, legs, or head. So basically, boobs or butt. And so in the show, you know, like they get, you know, Street Fighter-esque power moves, winding up their boobs and butt. And it's pretty good if you haven't seen it. Watched all the episodes. I was not disappointed. Much like I was not disappointed by reading the comments on this thread. And just all of the different people just jumping on the hate bandwagon, which, you know, I don't understand why nerds do that, man. We as nerds say that we want something, and then once they make it, we immediately shit on it because the internet tells us we have to. Like, I remember years ago when the Wii first came out, everyone was complaining that there was no mature games. It was all kid stuff. There was no mature games. And they finally made a company finally made a mature rated game, and it was like a scary type game, like not quite Resident Evil, but something like that, where you were like, it was a monsters and stuff. And I remember watching Attack of the Show, that was still a thing. And they're talking about, they're like, look, people, you said you wanted a mature rated game. They made one. Please go buy this if you want more made. They're not, if this one doesn't sell, they're just going to look at it and say, oh, well, we made a mature-rated game and nobody bought it, and so we're not going to make any more. Because I get a lot of people just wanted, you know, first-person shooters. They wanted like Call of Duty or something like that on the Wii, and it's like that's not what the Wii was for. If you really wanted to just play Call of Duty, then go get, you know, a PlayStation or an Xbox or even a PC, because, you know, the Wii isn't necessarily completely about family games, but it's definitely about, you know, the set games and Japanese type games. They're not going to put an American first person shooter on there.
Yeah, exactly.
But that being said, like a lot of the comments were just pretty hilarious the reasons why they, you know, and they weren't even discussing the ladies that were doing the live action version of Kaijo. They were just all shitting on the show. And, you know, one of the comments was, well, if you take away, you know, the boobs and this, and you take away that, it's just all around, it's a really boring show. And it's like, you know, if you're going to use that as your basis for anything, you could remove enough stuff and anything sucks. And it's like, you know, oh man, I really love Star Wars. Like, really? You like Star Wars? Because, I mean, if you take away, like, the spaceships and the Force and the lightsabers and the stormtroopers.
Yeah.
you just have a story about a bratty kid living on the desert with his aunt and uncle.
That has serious family issues.
Exactly. And you know, if you take away R2 and C-3PO, you know, and the Force and the spaceships, it's like you have a kid that never meets, you know, another Jedi, and he just goes on and is a monster farmer, and that's the whole movie.
I mean, you make a fair point. I mean, everything, like, just let it be what it is. Like, who cares? Like, yes, it's definitely a fan service show. Just let it be. Fuck off. God.
Right, and it's, you know, it got a little deep. Not very deep. I mean, it's not as shallow as a lot of the fan service shows, but it's definitely not as deep as, you know, a lot of the other shows. But, you know, they definitely had a lot of character development, and, you know, it was, the thing that I really liked about it was there was no dude that came along and saved the day. There was, I don't even think there was one male that had a speaking part in the entire show. It was all female. So maybe that's why the neckbeard dude that made that comment about if you take away all that stuff, it sucked. Because he was just,
yeah.
There was nobody for him to take the place of. It wasn't a harem show where he could put himself in that harem as he cuddled up to his waifu pillows.
Supposedly in my house, I have a room just full of waifu stuff, I guess, that according to one of my friends. And I escalated the situation because I told him, because he was telling this guy, and I was like, yeah, you know what, I have a pool of just waifu pillows that I just jump and swim into every day. And Roy's just fucking jealous, so he has to make fun of me. And the guy started laughing so hard. It was pretty good. We had a good time about it.
When I was at the fan festival for Final Fantasy XIV last October, met up with a couple people I play with, and we were at lunch. We were talking about a plan to make money was to buy a bunch of the waifu pillows and put some fleshlights into the pillow itself and sell them at a ridiculous markup outside of anime conventions.
That is true.
You're going back to your room, huh? Alone, huh? Well, it doesn't have to be that way.
You never have to go alone.
Exactly. It's dangerous to go alone. Fuck this.
Exactly.
You don't never have to worry about carpal tunnel again.
Nope, not at all.
But then the other thing that a lot of the people were bringing up as to why this, you know, was a shitty show, and not just this show, but all shows of its like, was a quote misattributed to Miyazaki, the founder, pretty much, of Studio Ghibli, like the guy that basically made all of the great Studio Ghibli movies. And the quote was, anime was a mistake. You know, I was, you know, looking it up, and a lot of the places call it a troll quote, which is basically what it is. When somebody wants to troll a anime article on wherever, they always bring that quote up. And he didn't say it, which is the best part. You know, near the end of his career, you know, his get off my lawn phase.
Yeah.
He made a quote in an interview that says, you see, whether you can draw like this or not, being able to think up this kind of design, it depends on whether or not you can say to yourself, oh yeah, girls like this exist in real life. If you don't spend time watching real people, you can't do this because you've never seen it. Some people spend their lives interested only in themselves. almost all Japanese animation is produced with hardly any basis taken from observing real people, you know. It's produced by humans who can't stand looking at other humans, and that's why the industry of is full of otaku.
Well, I feel like that's a little false, a little rude.
But like I said, that was his, I'm getting ready to retire, and I guess the story I was reading that he was kind of snubbed at the Academy Awards, and he was just angry at life in Hollywood and just the industry in general at that point. But yeah, from that quote is where they get anime was a mistake. You know, and there's other quotes like, those who identify as otaku, they seek in me deeply.
Now, I think there's like a worse term too. It's called, weeaboo or something. I forget.
Yes, weeaboo, yes.
Yeah. Roy likes to just cut it out and say weebs, so it's also one of his favorite words to call me.
I mean, he's not completely wrong.
Eh.
I mean, you're not full weeb because of according to the trusty and never false Urban Dictionary, the top definition is a non-Japanese person who basically denounces their own culture and calls themselves Japanese. They try to learn Japanese through the anime and they watch and usually end up pronouncing it wrong and look like a complete idiot. So basically it's not even somebody who's like, you know, non-Japanese who goes to like museums and reads books and actually learns the language and, you know, stuff like that. It's just somebody who, and we met a few people like that, you know, at Anime Expo sitting at our table at the Maid Cafe where basically their idea of Japanese culture is what they see through anime because anime is Japanese. And so that's all I need to know. It's like, you know, if a Japanese person watches nothing but Disney movies and they know everything about America.
Yeah. Yeah, or like how love is supposed to be. There's always the Prince Charming and yada, yada, yada.
Well, you know, you don't have to be Japanese to make that mistake. There's a lot of, you know, women and some men out here that watch the Disney movies and think that's how love is also.
Yeah,
so.
I know you're one of them.
I'm just a hopeless romantic at heart. I've yet to come upon an attractive, unconscious woman that lets me make out with her. So, it's kind of saddening. I mean, you know, you look at that Sleeping Beauty. She was unconscious. He made out with her. They get married. I do it. It's sexual assault. What's wrong with that picture?
I think it's just you, Danny. I think it's you doing that ad.
Nobody that's wants nothing that. To do with...
Yeah.
They're like, oh my god, if you were at least moderately attractive, I would be okay with this, but oh my god, it's you. I'm calling the police.
Oh, man. Ridiculous. Oh, man.
So, I'm guessing you're probably not going to see Spider-Man in theaters ever. You're going to have to wait till it comes out on the DVD.
You never know, man. You never know. We could see. I mean, if I moved into the house on Friday, like, it sounds like I might have some bandwidth this weekend.
So, you heard it here, folks. Next week, whether Sean's involved in the conversation or not, we will be discussing... the newest. I'm not even going to say new anymore because it's been in theaters for, like, what, a month now?
No, it hasn't even been a month. It came out in July, right?
Yeah, I know. July ends next month, week. So
July it came 26th. Out 4th of July. I don't want
to hear it. It came out 4th of July weekend, and on Monday next week is the end of July. So if we record our show next week and it is broadcast and posted in August, it'll have been out for a month is my point.
You know, I just don't know if I'm okay with all this negativity in this room right now.
you knew what you're getting when you signed me up for this, man. I'm just tired of your lackadaisical. I'm doing things important, like making a household.
Your fucking excuses.
I know, man.
You have other priorities.
That's why you don't buy a house. You just stay living the apartment dream, and you call the office, and they send somebody from maintenance to fix it while you're at work.
That is true.
Then you come home, and if they're there, you just like make it awkward, and then they leave.
Just take off your pants right while they're in the room.
Exactly. It's like, dude, look, man, I just got home from work. I'm gonna do my normal when I get home routine. And the first thing I do is I take off my pants and scratch my balls in this room for 20 minutes. The exact room that you're standing in.
Sir, I'm on the patio. Did I stutter?
This is my ball scratching room. The wife doesn't want me to do it in the house.
No, okay, not allowed to do that in the house.
No, that's why we can't have nice things.
No, never.
I know. I guess it makes it even more awkward me scratching my balls out on the patio because overlooking my patio, there is a junior high there. So
yeah, luckily it's me and not you. You have your own weird rooms for that.
I have the binocular spy room set up.
You have your waifu pillow up there too.
Exactly. Well, you only know that I have a waifu pillow because you did purchase it for me.
I did.
You bought it from your waifu pillow distributor and sent it to me. you got the guy, man. You know where to get the good stuff. It's like
got the good stuff.
It's like if you have a friend that doesn't smoke marijuana, but you want to get him into it, and you smoke marijuana, you're not gonna give him the cheap shit, man. You got a guy. I'm like, hey, man, I got a guy that sells marijuana, dude. I'll hook you up, man, and then I'm gonna get you into it just like I am. You're trying to get me to go down the drugs, man.
Well, you're trying to get yourself down there, man. I'm just trying to chill. Sit here, talk about fun things, not get harassed about not watching Spider-Man movies, you know, the usual.
You know what? The best way to avoid getting harassed for not watching Spider-Man would have been to go watch Spider-Man. That would have solved all those problems.
What a solution.
Imagine that, huh? What a twist.
Oh, man.
So there you go, folks. Next week, moderately, maybe no spoilers, Spider-Man reviewed, guaranteed. Please look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to next week. I think we're going to take a suspended break from the show for indefinitely. I find a new castmate.
Next week's plan, review Spider-Man. Tomorrow's announcement, indefinite hiatus.
Exactly. So,
we're on indefinite hiatus because Sean drowned in his waifu pillow hot tub.
And you'll all be fucking jealous of me.
He died with a smile on his face.
You see? Everybody's just jealous of my smiles. Jesus. All right. All right, man, we are done with the show. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out to this fucking dumpster fire. Maybe we'll be on next week. Maybe we won't. We'll see. I need to learn. I need to figure out how to send some anthrax to California.
Well, there is a handy site that actually literally sells a bag of dicks that you can mail to someone.
Oh, perfect. I know. It's I know.
Gummy dicks and... On the front, it says, "Eat a bag of dicks."
Is it like candy penises?
It's gummy. They're gummy.
Oh, even better. I know what I know what people are getting for their birthday next year, or Christmas present. Dicks to everybody for Christmas.
Christmas, birthday, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah. Earth Day, Labor Day, it doesn't matter, man. If there's a day to be celebrated, you get a bag of dicks.
Oh my god.
That's
what I'm gonna do. Like 3 days in December, I'm gonna order stuff. And then what? To the same person. Like the first one's Merry Christmas, the next one's Happy Kwanzaa.
You're going to be like the Oprah of gummy dicks. You get a bag of dicks, you get a bag of dicks, everyone gets a bag of dicks.
Oh boy. All right, everybody. Thank you guys for hanging out once again. We appreciate your support, your love, your hate. As long as you're paying attention to us, we appreciate it.
Exactly. Like you said, I don't know how many people are actually legit fans or how many people are just suffering from Stockholm Syndrome because, you know, we haven't gotten enough reviews to get an average rating pop up on the net, on the iTunes. And so, you know, I did some research because I'm like, well, how many reviews do you need before it shows up as to how many reviews you've gotten? The number is 5. You need 5 reviews before it actually shows up your star rating on iTunes. So, come on, man. There's gotta be like...
Do we really want people? I feel like if we get no reviews, more people listen until we get 5 reviews and it goes down to 1 star that nobody subscribes anymore. Maybe this is a bad plan.
Well, I was going to say, you know, because, like, you know, I have an iTunes account, so I gave us a 5-star review, of course. And then, you know, when my wife wasn't looking, I went on her iTunes account and gave us a 5-star review. So
we can't get 3.
We can't even get 3. That's my point.
All right, maybe I'll get on there and give us a 1-star just to balance out all the 5s.
Maybe a 2. We're not that bad. Like we're semi-informative and occasionally make people laugh. I don't know if they're laughing with us or at us, but either way.
And we do post every Friday. Every Friday.
Yes, even we're pretty consistent with the posting.
Even if it was at 11:55 at night, it was still Friday.
mission accomplished.
Exactly. All right, everybody. We will talk to you guys next week. Danny, per usual, it was fun, man.
Have a good week there, Weeboo Sean.
Fucker.